It's nice to be with you. As Johnny said, it's the first time I've been here in the hall, and it is nice to be with you, and do thank you for your warm welcome. I want to read five different verses from the scriptures tonight, from the Word of God. Firstly, in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I want to think of five different questions that were asked. Five questions. First of these, Matthew chapter 22, and it's in verse 42. It says there, verse 42, it says there, "What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ?" Over, please, towards the back of the New Testament to the book of James. Book of James. Chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. Read from verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13, it says there, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." There's the question, for what is your life? Back please to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 22, this is towards the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he is crucified. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 27. It says there, "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified." And there is a question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Over to the Old Testament, please, to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 21, just part of the verse there, verse 21 of 1 Kings chapter 18. It says there, Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions?" And finally, please, back to the New Testament, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, please. In verse 30. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. It says there, it's the story of the Philippian jailer. I'm sure most of us were familiar with it. It says there, verse 30 of Acts chapter 16. Read verse 29 for connection. "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Verse 30 has the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And sure, O God, will bless the reading of his word to us this evening. I want to, as I've said, think of these five questions that we've read of this evening. And I suppose as we go through our life, one thing that we always seem to do every day is ask questions. I was asked a question in the road up to the meeting today. How long before we get there? When will we be there? How long have we been in the car? And every day we are asked questions. And I want to think of these five questions this evening. The first of these was Matthew chapter 22, and the question asked there was, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Now, when we come to a meeting such as this, we don't talk about ourselves, or we don't talk about the Gospel Hall, or we don't talk about the folks who gather at the Gospel Hall. You see, on occasions such as this, when we think of the message of the Gospel, there is only one person that we think of, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. that is God's only Son. And see, this is the person in whom the gospel is all about. It's not about ourselves. It's all about him. And the question is asked, what think ye of Christ? I suppose if we were to go out to the streets this evening and ask people that question, what think ye of Christ? What do you think about this man called the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder what the answers would be. I wonder what the folks would say. Perhaps some would say, well, I suppose he was just a normal person like everyone else. Others would say, well, he's a great religious figure. Others would say, well, that's what the folks in the church believe. They think of this man, the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you the question tonight. What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we often, when we think of a particular person or a particular place or a particular group of people, what we think or what our opinion of that person is often really determines how we act towards them. For example, if you have a person that perhaps you really care about a lot and you really like, then you would probably strive to be in their company. Or on the opposite hand, if you had someone you knew who particularly you didn't get on well with, or you didn't really have the greatest relationship with them, you would perhaps try to avoid being near them, try to avoid being in their company. But you know, when you think of the message of the gospel, the Bible tells us very clearly what God thinks of you, what God thinks of me. And really that is all encapsulated by a little word called love. I'm sure the folks here this evening can quote to me John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so God tells us what he thinks of us because he has given us his Son. God has shown you and I love that really is so great that we really can't fully understand it. And we really can't fully appreciate how great God's love is towards us this evening. But that's really encapsulated in that little verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so God loves us. With that, there is no doubt, there is no question. But you know, God also reveals to us something very important in his word. You see, God reveals to us something very important. God tells us that in our life, there is something that is lacking. There is something that is missing. There is something in your life and in my life that is wrong. It's just not right. And God tells us, and through his word, he says, all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is, you have sinned. I have sinned. Everyone in this room has sinned. Everyone in Kenilworth has sinned. Everyone in Scotland and in the world has sinned. And you might ask, well, what is this sin? What is sin that you speak about? That same thing that I'm sure you hear about Sunday after Sunday. People come and tell us that we're sinners. What does it mean? Well, if you go right away back to the beginning of your Bible, you'll read there how God had created Adam, and he'd created Eve, and he'd put them in the garden, and he'd given them a commandment to eat of all the trees of the garden apart from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you were to read those verses, you would soon discover that, well, it wasn't too long before they had taken of the fruit of that tree. What had they done? They had disobeyed. They had gone against what God had commanded. They had gone against what God had told them to do. That's what we've all done tonight. You see, we've all disobeyed. All have sinned. I'm sure you youngsters, every day, I'm sure you're told what to do by your parents. You're told what not to do. And what do? Well, you do the opposite. We've all done that. Perhaps it's something that you might consider something quite simple. Maybe it's telling lies. Maybe stealing something, hiding the truth, hiding the lies just to try and get away with something that you've done wrong. All have sinned. And in that there is no doubt. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have disobeyed God. You have disobeyed God. I have disobeyed God. And the consequence of that is, because of our sin, we are separated from God. Because of our sin, we cannot get to heaven because of our sin. It acts as that big barrier between us and God, our sin. But you know, the great message of the gospel is that God has provided a way for your sin to be taken away. That great barrier that exists between you and God in heaven, there is a way that that can be taken away. And that's why when we think of the message of the gospel, there is only one person that we can turn to, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't turn to me, you can't turn to the folks that gather at the gospel hall. They can't save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you tonight. Only he can deal with the problem of your sin. You may ask, well, why is he different? We've already said that all have sinned. Yet when we consider the person of the Lord Jesus, we think about a man who was sinless, one who could do no sin. In fact, the Bible says that he cannot sin. In him is no sin. You see, here was a man who met God's perfect standard. Here was a man who, yes, he was a man, but yet he was so different to you and to me. Because in him was no sin. And in fact, it was absolutely impossible for him to sin. You and I find it very easy. It comes just very simply that we can sin very easily. But yet in the Lord Jesus Christ, he could do no sin. He could do no wrong. And here is a man who met God's perfect standard. He was God's only son. And here is a man who left heaven, who left the side of God, and he came into the world. A world of sin, a world of darkness. And why does he come? Well, he comes to go to a place called Calvary. He comes to go to the cross. And why does he go there? Well, he goes there very simply, dear friend. He goes there to pay the price of your sin. That sin that has separated you from God. He goes there and he takes the punishment of your sin. You see, God hates our sin. And our sin, as we've said, cuts us off from God. And God will punish sin. God will judge sin. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. There he suffered and he shed his precious blood. And he died. So that if you believe in him, if you trust in him, if you put your faith and trust all in him, that sin can be taken away. And so the question is asked, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? What about our second question, James chapter 4? What is your life? What does it tell us? Well, it tells us in verse 13 that there were people who went to this particular place. And what was the plan? Well, the plan was to go there and for a year or so and buy and sell and to get gain, to make profit. Nothing wrong with that. However, what we soon discover with these folks is that they had planned for the year or so ahead. However, they didn't know what would come tomorrow. How sad to think that they had these plans in mind and yet they thought to themselves, I know I'll do this for a year or so. But yet how sad to know that they didn't know what would happen tomorrow. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. A little verse in the Old Testament and it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You and I all have plans. All have plans for tomorrow, for the rest of the week, beyond that. Plans for our life, whatever they might be. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. What is the question that is asked here? The question is asked, what is your life? And the answer is given, described as a vapour. It's quoted in the prayer meeting tonight. What is your life? A vapour that appeareth for a little time. Try and picture it in your mind. You think of the kettle boiling. You think of the steam that rises. And it's there, just goes up for a few seconds, then it's gone. That's like your life, that's like my life. It's there just for a little time, and then it disappears. I thought of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. A man who had great plans, a man whose harvest, he had a bumper harvest, and his plan was to go and build these great barns. And there he would put them all in, and there he would store them all. And he said to himself that he would eat and drink and be merry. He was just going to take it easy. I suppose in a business sense of mind it would be a good idea, a good investment perhaps. However, he had no room for God. I will build my barns. I will take thine ease. I will eat, drink and be merry. You see, his plans all about himself. His plans at no point included God. I wonder if that's like you tonight. I wonder if that's like me. Going through life and it's all about you. And in your life and in your plans, there is no room for God. What did God do? Well, God spoke to this man. And God called him a fool. Because his plans ignored God. His plans did not include God. God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." God intervenes. His plans didn't work out the way he thought. That night, that man's life would be over. No room for God in his life. And for him, very sadly, that man, no room in eternity. God would not be in his eternity. He would be lost, forever separate, forever cut off from God. I wonder about you tonight. Where are you? Have you got right with God? Are you saved? Is this great problem of sin in your life, has it been taken away? And so the warning is given. Their life is a vapour that appears for a little time, and then it just vanishes away. You see, there is a warning here that the warning is given that your sin needs to be dealt with now. Your sin needs to be taken away now. Needs to be taken away in time. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Isaiah 55 says this, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." You see, there is a great danger that you just delay it, that you just leave it too long. And there is a great need for you, my friend, just to be prepared to meet God. The Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God." You know, there's only one way that you can do that, and that is by accepting Christ as your Saviour. That is by asking him for the forgiveness of all your sin. And so the question is asked, what is your life? A vapour that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. What about our third question? Matthew chapter 27. What shall I do then with Jesus? What a great question. I thought of the responses that were given. Think of the response of the crowd in verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus? They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And again they repeat it in verse 23, "Let him be crucified." Wanted rid of him, rejected him, hated him. No room for him, no time for him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Luke chapter 19, rejection. Verse 24, what does Pilate do? Well, he says this. What he does is he washes his hands of the matter. He passed it over. He wanted just to avoid it completely. I thought of Judas, Matthew chapter 26. He would rather have the 30 pieces of silver than the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, verse 29, you read of the soldiers. What did they do with him? They mocked him. They spat on him. They beat him. They gambled for his clothes. And they would do their worst to him. They would beat him. They would do their absolute worst that they could to the Lord Jesus. I thought of the centurion. What did he say? He said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." What a different response we have here. Here was a man who watched the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. And he says, "Truly this was the Son of God." Here was a man who fully understood who the Lord Jesus was. He fully appreciated who he was. Yes, he was a man, but you know, he was so much more than that. What about the woman in verse 55? The woman watched afar off. They were observing. We now want to think just for a moment about Luke chapter 23. And we read of two men who are described as malefactors. And these men are crucified at the same time as the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we read? Well, we soon discover that one of them, he very simply just wants to be off the cross. He just wants to be back to his old way of life. He says, save thyself and us. He just wants to be off there. He doesn't want to face up to reality. He wants to be off and just back to his old way of life. But yet the other man, what does he do? Well, he says that this man hath done nothing amiss. We receive the due reward of our deeds. That is, we're here because we deserve to be here. This man understands that he's been crucified because he deserves to be. He's been punished because he's broken the law. And he fully understands his need. And two, he fully understands exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And what does he do with the Lord Jesus? Well, he accepts him as his Saviour. So we have one who rejects, and we have one who accepts the person of the Lord Jesus. You see, it all comes down to this question. Your response to the Lord Jesus Christ, your response to the message of the gospel, all comes down to this question. And I want to change it slightly and say this. What shall you do then with Jesus? That can only be one of two things. To believe in him, to trust him, or to reject him, to shun him. John chapter 3 verse 18 says this, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so to believe, what does it mean? Well, it means to be not condemned. It means to believe is to have your sins forgiven, to have them taken away. It means at the end of life or in eternity you will be in heaven. What does it mean to believe not? Well, it says there, he that believeth not is condemned, unforgiven, not going to heaven. I wonder which of the two are you in? What shall I do then with Jesus? What shall you do then with Jesus? And very quickly on to our fourth question. 1 Kings chapter 18 asks a very important question. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? We might call it sitting on the fence, undecided. There's a statement made in Joshua chapter 24. It says this, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And it goes on to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, to choose Christ is to change your life. It changes your whole life. It changes your whole way of living. Because you then follow his word, you obey his word. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, to be saved, to become a Christian, is so much more than having just your sins forgiven. That's just the beginning. And so to get saved, to have your sins taken away, it's just the beginning. It's not a case of saying, well, I'll get saved, I'll get my sins all forgiven, and then I'll just go back to doing whatever I want, or going wherever I want, or saying whatever I want. It's not a case of that. You see, salvation brings about a change in a person's life. To be saved is then to live a life that would please God, to live a life to follow after the things of God, to follow after the word, to follow the truth of the Bible, to obey him, to serve him, to live for him. And so it's not just a case of being saved and that's it. That's just the beginning. And so tonight for you, it's either Christ or it's not. It's to believe or it's not to believe. It's to be saved or it's to be lost. And ultimately, it's either heaven or hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Accept Christ and be saved. We quoted it already, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I wonder if you got that tonight. To reject, what does that mean? Well, it says there in the Bible, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. To be not saved, to not believe, to be cut off from God for all eternity, to have forevermore the wrath of God poured out upon you, to be separated from God. You see, that's the punishment that the Lord Jesus Christ took on the cross. He took the punishment on the cross for your sin and for mine, so that you wouldn't have to experience that, so that one day you could be in heaven. We know there's a solemn verse in Revelation chapter 20, it says this. It says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Not my ideas, not my opinion. It's what I believe, it's what the Bible teaches. I wonder, where are you tonight? Are you with those who believe? Or are you with those who believe not? And so the question is asked, how long halt ye between two opinions? And finally, very quickly, please, Acts chapter 16. What must I do to be saved? One of my favourite passages from the Bible, this story here. Such a simple question. And you know, it's such a simple answer that's given. Nothing complicated about it. And the story is this man, this jailer man, this man who looked after the prisoners, this man who made sure that the prisoners were all still in their prison cells. It's his job to make sure they stay there. And God sends an earthquake and all the doors are opened, all the chains are loosed. The prisoners are really could walk out the door. And this man suddenly realizes, because he realizes that if this ever happened, he would be executed, his life would be over. And this man really, when he realizes just exactly what's happened, it just seems to really dawn upon him. And there seems to be an urgency. There seems to be a great urgency in the way this man asks the question. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There's an urgency about this. He needs to get this problem dealt with now. You see, he realizes that he's not ready for his life to end. He realizes that he's not prepared for it. He's not prepared for what lies beyond it. You know, I think it's a great answer that he gets back. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, that's it. That's the answer to it. You might say, well, what about if I do, if I live a good life? How can that get me to heaven? Well, Isaiah chapter 65 tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That is the best that you can live, the best that you can offer God. Not good enough. It doesn't solve the issue of your sin. You say, well, what if I start to do good works in my community? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 tells us that by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, my parents are Christians. Surely then I'll be okay. My mum and dad are saved. Perhaps I have a brother or sister and they're saved. Surely I'll be all right then. The Bible tells us, and we've quoted it already tonight, all have sinned. You have sinned. I have sinned. And because your parents might be saved or your other family members might be saved, doesn't mean you're saved. All have sinned. And you as an individual need to experience salvation for yourself. Your parents are saved. Doesn't mean you're saved. What if I live a better life? Well, the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Unless you turn from your sin and turn to Christ, the Bible says ye shall all likewise perish. You see, the great issue here tonight is your sin. The great issue is that your sin is keeping you out of heaven. And that sin needs to be taken away tonight. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Your sin tonight needs to be taken away. It needs to be forgiven. That great barrier that exists between you and God, it needs to be taken away tonight. And the answer is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And there on the cross, as we've said already, he took the punishment for your sin and my sin. And on him God poured out the wrath of his wrath upon sin. And he was made sin. Your sin was poured out upon God, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You see, tonight we present before you not a man who has died. Yes, he has died, but he is now alive. He has risen again. And so the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is given, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, there is no other answer. There is no other person or place or thing that we can point you to tonight other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question is asked, and with this we'll finish, what must I do to be saved? In verse 31 of Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do pray and trust. Do trust and pray that you will take Christ as your Saviour tonight. Get your sin taken away. Get it all forgiven. Get ready for eternity. Get ready for heaven. May you make Christ your Saviour tonight, shall we pray?